Summer loving had me a blast.
Summer loving happened so fast.
I met a girl crazy for me.
Met a boy cute as can be.
Summer days drifting away to another summer night.
July.
Happy 4th of July.
I hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday.
Good morning. We're starting out with music for the summer.
I like it.
Music for the summer.
Absolutely.
Starting out with Summer Days with Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta.
I love it.
From Greece.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's our favorite day of the week, Tuesday, The Garden Line with Mr. Mike Wiggins. If you have a question, want to send us a picture, you have a comment. 437-1620.
Yes.
And then don't miss out because you stick around. We have another guest coming in. It's going to be the Mike and Malcolm Show.
Breaking news. Malcolm is going to be here.
The Mike and Malcolm Show.
10 to 11.
I'm just facilitating.
I was going to say, Tammy's going to get in her car and go to the beach.
I'll be like, y'all got this. See you later.
So long, boys.
It's going to be a fun morning, so I'm excited about that.
Hope so. Can I start out with something?
Absolutely.
Thank somebody.
Yes.
I know those listening who have listened to us a lot realize that Catherine is just a loyal listener.
She is, yes.
And periodically she'll bring us some information on various topics. She sent me some great information on the Francis M. Weston Audubon Society.
And I actually got in touch with them, too, Mike.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm trying to get them on the show, which I think is going to happen.
Let me tell you what.
I'm excited.
I didn't realize how extensive they were in their study and enjoyment of birds. They've got a whole newsletter called The Skimmer. And I can't go through it, but if you thumb through it, it shows that they've got all these field trips. They've got these bird watching for newcomers. They've got meetings where they talk about different things in regards to the birds. It's just an amazing organization. And I was going to give the website, which is fmwaaudubon.org. The FMWA, of course, stands for the Francis M. Weston Audubon Society. So it's fmwaaudubon.org. Just a great organization.
I can't wait to learn all about it.
Oh, well, I'll leave you one of these.
Yeah, so if
you reach one of these, you kind of get a good feel for what's going on.
I would love that.
And also, I've got to thank Catherine because she does this sometimes, sends us the Audubon magazine.
Nice.
Now, let me tell you what. You may not be interested in birds or bird habitats and that type of thing. This is the most gorgeous photography short of National Geographic you could ever see.
Nice.
It's just fascinating.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So
thank you, Catherine.
Catherine, thank you. I may sit out by the pool and read my
Audubon
magazine.
Absolutely. It's the 4th of July. That's what you're going to do later.
Absolutely. So anyway, if you're interested, two things. One, go to that website I just mentioned. And Tammy, you're going to try to get them on the show.
Yeah,
right?
I've already had the conversation with them, so I've got to figure out a time. So I think it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Well, I noticed on here that Jim Brady, I go to church with Jim Brady. I didn't realize I knew he was into this. I didn't know he was the president.
Look at you. The president of the Audubon Society for birds.
Oh, absolutely. So if you enjoy the birds, anyway, I heard Andrew. I was going to interfere with Andrew's show when he was talking about fireworks. And somebody was calling in, kind of justifying why they were using fireworks when it was against the law. And they said, well, they were using the fireworks to get rid of all the birds. Well, I'm going to the poorhouse feeding the birds, trying to get the birds to come in. They were going to shoot off those fireworks to get rid of the birds. So in any event, that's a thank you to Catherine.
Yeah, Catherine,
and hope
thank
she has
you.
A great 4th
yes,
of July.
Hope we all have a great 4th of July. I haven't heard from Paul in a little bit either, so I hope he's doing well too.
Yes, absolutely.
Paul usually chimes in as well. So.
Oh, I'm sure he will today, no doubt
yes.
about it.
Yes. If you're just now tuning in, you're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, and I'm here with Mike Wiggins. It's the Garden Line, so send us all your questions about plants, grass, grass, trees, pretty much
whatever.
he knows everything. So
birds,
birds,
whatever.
I don't know much about birds.
But you're going to learn.
I'm going to learn today.
When they have that, your guest on, that'll be great.
That's right. So we had a friend text in, please tell me how to control chamber bitters.
Oh, chamber, absolutely. Quite frankly, right now, there's really no control because two things. One, chamber bitters is a weed. It's an annual weed, and there are chemicals that will control it, but you just cannot use it in this heat. I mean, we're in the mid-90s. You might as well hit your lawn with a blowtorch than use a weed killer on your lawn right now. Chamber bitters can be controlled with a pre-emergence weed killer, which will jump way ahead till we get to November and spray your pre-emergence weed killer in November. Then you do it again in the next February, and that will help with the chamber bitter. But I've also found sometimes the heat will get to it. So if you're mowing your yard high, as you should, sometimes that'll kind of, the lawn will be get so thick that it'll ease out that chamber bitter.
Okay.
So that's sort of the way you have to go there. But right now, other than getting on your hands and knees in 95 degree heat and pulling weeds, no way.
Man, it does not sound appealing to me.
We need you too bad here on the guard line for you to get out there.
Right, let's not do that.
So right. Just keep mowing it high, keep the yard watered, get the lawn as healthy as it can be, because a healthy, thick turf is still the best weed deterrent that we have. So anyway, that's
great.
Where I would go on
Thank
chamber
you for bed. Texting that question.
Good question. Thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely.
We need to talk about a few things. One, let's go back to the heat. It is so very hot. And if you've got your container plants, whatever, I don't care if it's a tomato plant or a begonia or a hibiscus, it makes no difference. They really are drying out so fast and are affected by the heat. I have some people, especially if you have them in smaller containers, who are having to water them literally almost every day. And that's hard for all of us to do. We all have other things in our life other than that. But at least every other day or every third day, if you have container plants out in the full sun, you're going to need to water them. Same thing for the flower bed. If you've got a sprinkler system, you're in business. I'd be honest with you, as hot as it is, and we're getting these little spotty little showers, I would almost set my sprinkler system, the experts won't agree with me here, every day.
Really?
Just let it come on every day. You could get by with every other day, I think. But I think to be safe, with the way the weather is now, you may want to do it every day if you can. You know, back in the early spring, we were all just kind of doing it manual. We would turn it on when we needed to turn it off, and we didn't. Well, now we do need it. Now, the only other thing, Tammy, is if you look at the weather, and I hate it this time of year when this happens, even though we need the rain, we've got like 60%, 70% some days later in this week. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great week. 4th of July week is a great week, and Blue Angels week is coming up. We don't need any rain. Let's let it stay hot and clear. We'll get rain next week.
We'll get it next week.
Absolutely. So be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. We hope you're having a wonderful 4th of July. I'm here with Mike Wiggins. It's the Garden Line. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get right back to your questions after the break here on Pep Talk. Welcome back. I hope you're having a fantastic 4th of July. I hope you have a safe and wonderful day as we celebrate our independence. My favorite holiday, Mike.
It's a great one.
Love this holiday.
It's a great one. It really is.
It truly is.
You know, and everybody, I guess maybe because it was on Tuesday, and not everybody, but a lot of people had Monday off, so you had Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We're in good spirits.
Yeah. I mean, I worked, but it's okay. And I'm working again. Well, it's all good. I love being here with you.
When Malcolm comes on in our next hour, we'll try to lower your load a little bit.
Oh, thanks.
He and I will try to figure out and see if we can solve the world's problems here.
I think that's a great idea.
I think so, too. No doubt about it.
You're listening to Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins. So send us your garden questions. We'd love to answer them. We had a friend text in. Last week, you were talking about the old garden gate in Gulf Breeze. Emily Peterson was the owner and master gardener that knew so much about native plants.
It's just amazing. I always appreciate all our listeners, and sometimes I'm kind of amazed at the people who I see on the street or friends of mine. I see them at various events or meetings or whatever who listen to us, and I'm really so pleased that they do. But so many of people approached me last week and said, Emily Peterson, she is the best. She's amazing. She knows everything about native plants. She ran that nice garden center, and she's still around. So I thought it might be fun, Emily, if you're listening, maybe if we contact her and see if she would like to join us for a small segment or maybe a large segment.
That would be so fun.
On the garden line, because there seemed to be on our text messages and our phone calls a lot of interest in native plants. So it'd be good to have the expert on.
Anyway,
she got a lot of compliments from friends of mine, and so I have a feeling she is really, really good.
So I got a text from a friend, two pics of Catherine and David's, and I'll show this to you. Backyard, the centipede grass is mowed 4 inches high and watered every other day unless Mother Nature helps out. Happy 4th of July, and it's beautiful, so I'll send you pictures of those. And Paul, hello, good morning, Paul.
Oh, what do you say, buddy?
Oh, he's sending us, went to Tennessee Gardens, amazing, and you're going to have, on the break, you'll have to come look at all the pictures he sent of these beautiful flowers.
Where was that? At
Tennessee Gardens.
Where is Tennessee Gardens? It's in Tennessee, for sure, but where is it?
I don't know, Paul.
Paul, let us know. I'm just curious. I've never heard of it.
He said he wants to meet Emily, too. So let's sit. Emily and Paul. And we're going to have a big old garden line show for a couple of hours.
Don't we have a larger studio we could use?
Can we get some more mics in here?
Exactly.
We've got lots of friends, and they all want to come in.
We do have friends.
I like it.
We're very lucky to have these friends.
He said Knoxville.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In Knoxville. Okay.
It's gorgeous. Well, I used to live in Okinawa, Japan, and they used to have a beautiful garden that you could go like walk through, botanical gardens. It was
in Okinawa.
Gorgeous.
Really?
Yes.
I bet it was.
A lot of native plants.
Oh, yes. I am. That's a lot of fun. It's fun to go to places where you have different plants. Like, it's fun to go to South Florida, and as you drive around, you see these plants growing out in people's yards, their hedges or their specimen plants, and here at home they're just house plants.
Oh yeah, true.
But down there they're huge, and so it's kind of fun to go see these different plants in different locations. So that's a good one, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Well, we're glad you're back.
Yes.
In Pensacola, we appreciate you coming back home, Paul. Didn't stay and move away.
We were scared you might not come back, but we're glad you're here. Good for you.
Yes, absolutely. So
good for you.
I hope you're all having a wonderful. He is in a smiley faces. I hope you're all having a wonderful 4th of July and that you have some amazing plans. Are you going to go see the fireworks?
You know, I've that's up in the air right now. I'm manning the grill.
Of course. Why wouldn't you man the grill on 4th of July?
I'm manning the grill on the 4th of July with an unknown number of attendees. So we're going to have to see how all that works out. But I've got to tell you, and maybe we can talk about this with Malcolm a little bit, but it's just amazing. Here's Pensacola. We're a relatively small city.
Yeah,
right?
We are.
We have got these great, great fireworks. And we need to thank Sertoma Club for over the years have done this for years and years and done a beautiful job of doing all the 4th of July activities downtown. Well, they're not doing it anymore. The Chamber of Commerce and the Pensacola Young Professionals are doing it. Mm-hmm. And I know that Sertoma is kind of shadowing them, or they're shadowing Sertoma to learn how to do that. So you know it's going to be special. But not only is there the fireworks, we've also got the symphony at the Community Maritime Park. And we need to thank our good friend, Peter Mouget. Do you know Peter?
Yeah, Peter. I don't know him, but he's the one that's...
Right. He's with 11 law firm, has been forever, and has always been the spearhead behind that symphony down there, which is kind of the prelude to all the fireworks. So you can go down, hear the free... It's all free.
Yeah.
Go down, hear the free symphony, then enjoy the fireworks. What a night that would be. It would just be great. And it's my understanding that the Pensacola Beach fireworks which generally go on at the same time, are kind of coordinating.
They are. Our sister station, Cat Country 98.7, is going to be syndicating the music for both at the exact same time.
Exactly. And if you're at the beach, you can go to Bands on the Beach.
You could go to Bands on the Beach and then just go and watch. Yeah, it's amazing.
I was going to say, to be a relatively smaller city compared to some of the big guys, a lot going on in Pensacola, Florida for the 4th of July.
Or you could even go to Milton if you live over that direction.
Or Navarre.
Yeah, they have a whole thing going on in Milton. I was talking to the Santa Rosa Chamber this week, and they have a car show, and you can bring your bikes, and they're going to have a duck race. The duck race sounds so fun.
What is it?
You adopt a little plastic duck.
Oh, okay.
And they put him in the river, and then whoever wins big prizes. I think the top prize is $1,500, so it's a good deal. They're going to have fireworks, so you could just drive anywhere you wanted around here.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I think it's amazing.
A lot going on, a lot of fun, no doubt about it.
I will get back with you, Jim, because I was supposed to go to a race today, and we're going to talk about that. And I think I talked about it yesterday. He might have missed it. So we'll get back to that after the break. We're going to take a few questions. If you are just now tuning in, you're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins. He's been landscaping for 40 years. He knows pretty much the answer to everything. He will tell you he doesn't.
That may be a stretch.
Nah, he knows it. So.
Oh, when the sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof, and your shoes get so hot you wish your tired feet were fireproof.
Welcome back. I hope you're having a wonderful 4th of July this Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. It's Pep Talk. It's The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. It's always a fun morning. And I want to say a big shout out to Jim for dropping off some water for us this morning, some Fuji water.
Jim, we really appreciate that. You know,
how sweet.
Brent and I walked in here with some donuts, and now we got this nice water from Jim.
I got a sprinkle donut and now water.
Oh, yeah.
This is the best morning ever.
It doesn't get any better than
I know.
That.
Yeah.
I may have to rethink all that food I'm going to cook when I get home.
Oh, we're going to work it off. We're going to work it off.
All right.
But we do appreciate it. That was really sweet of you to drop that off.
We really, really do appreciate it. And one more thanks to Catherine for that whole packet of information about the Audubon Society and Audubon Magazine. She's fabulous. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. And like I said, if you have a question, we're going to be here for... until about 10, we'll do the Garden Line. But even after, if you have a question, we can get to it.
No question.
Yeah, because we're going to have Malcolm on, and Michael still be here. So 437-1620, you're welcome to call or text in. I hope you're having a wonderful 4th of July, and you have a safe 4th of July.
No question about that.
Yes.
And talk about a safe 4th of July. With this heat, when it gets to be 95 degrees, and if you do go out and do a few chores in the garden, you know, drink a lot of water.
Please.
Don't stay out in the sun too long. Mm-hmm. Be careful. We need you. Too bad.
Yes.
You know, be safe. Please.
Absolutely. We'll be back with more here on Pep Talk. Oh, goodness. It's the donut. It's gotten to me. We have a Fox News update followed by a local news update in our newsroom.
Watching the sun bake, all of those tourists covered with oil.
Welcome back. Happy 4th of July. Thank you so much for listening. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins. It's the Garden Line, so send us your pictures, your questions, 437-1620. That's 437-1620. Mike, this song, I just love this song.
Yeah, I was going to
say, I want to go sit on the beach right now.
What would summer be without Jimmy Buffett?
Right. If I'm sitting on the beach under an umbrella, I just turn on some Jimmy Buffett.
Eating a cheeseburger in paradise.
Cheeseburger in paradise. There you go.
Exactly right.
Absolutely.
No question. I was going to Oh, yes. Paul sent us that picture of the botanical gardens in Knoxville, Tennessee. A lot of interesting plants, some of which I did not know. A lot of them I did not know. However, one of them was a castor bean plant. Very interesting foliage on it, kind of purplish, reddish purple. And but I just, if people ever see that, see it in a seed packet, for example, do not plant that plant. Do not plant
it. What happens?
It's very, very poisonous. As a matter of fact, if you look on your internet, it'll probably tell you that it is highly toxic to all animals, and it could be fatal.
Oh,
it's a strong one. It's used for various things. One is for rodent control and that type of thing. So anyway, it's a beautiful looking plant. But if somebody says, "Why don't you plant some of these castor beans in your garden?" I would just say, no.
No thanks.
Don't do it. Anyway, interesting. Paul, thanks. Some interesting plants like that that are gorgeous, but there's some plants you don't want to mess with. One of the, golly, the plants that I just love is it's plants that we can, oleanders, like you can plant at the beach. And dwarf oleanders are beautiful. They're small. They're kind of thick growing, maybe grow 2 to 3 feet high, pink blossoms. Absolutely gorgeous. Just gorgeous. Just like, and of course, all oleanders will grow in harsh, full sun, sand environment. That's why they're all over the beach. But they too are poisonous. They are. You don't want to have children or animals chew on the stems or the leaves or that type of thing, because you can get very sick doing that. So if you have animals or children at your house, even though dwarf oleanders are great, especially great insofar as drought-tolerant plants go, think twice about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't do it.
You know, earlier we were talking about watering your grass every day, and a friend texted in, because it's so hot, is it better to water at night when the sun and the heat won't evaporate the water the grass needs?
That's a great question. That's a great question. Here's what you need to do. One, you don't want to water at noon, for sure, because all that water is going to evaporate and it's gone. But you don't want to water early in the evening so that grass stays wet during the dark are the hours of the night, because it can create a fungus. So,
oh, that another friend texted in.
Yeah.
How often should you water grass on Pensacola Beach? Because we have algae issues and we're being told to water twice a week. So is that what you're talking about?
No.
That's different?
You know, just the old brown patch fungus we get in St. Augustine. That grass stays wet all night. You don't want to do that. So the best time to water, in my opinion, is 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning. That way, the water gets used before it gets too hot.
Okay.
And you still, you're not susceptible to the to any kind of disease. So, at the beach, you're with that sand, you're almost on a daily watering schedule.
Yeah.
Every other day, at least. But I'll tell you right now, I have. We talked about St. Augustine grass and the problems it's had. I think I've mentioned before that some of my customers' best lawns were at the beach. They did a couple of things. One, they watered them all the time. Two, they used that mid-summer high nitrogen fertilizer. Gave it that real kick this time of year, which everybody should do if you have St. Augustine. He used, the guy that had the best yard, used ammonium nitrate. You know, we talk about 16-0-8 being a great fertilizer. The 16 is the nitrogen. And it's slow release. It releases very slowly. Ammonium nitrate is a 33-0-0, no slow release. It can be the best thing you ever did, and it can be the worst thing you ever did, because it could burn it up. You put ammonium nitrate out on your yard and don't water it and put it on too thick, you've got some major problems. But if you put it on very light, maybe 3 pounds per 1,000 square feet, and water, water, water. Boy, it'll make that St. Augustine sit up and talk. It really will.
So our friend that said they have an algae issue, do you still think they should water every day?
When they say algae issue.
It says, how often should you water grass on Pensacola Beach? We have a algae issue and are being told to only water twice a week.
I'm not sure what the algae issue is.
Okay.
I don't know that. And I wonder who is saying to water just twice a week. If you've got St. Augustine grass at the beach, mm-hmm. which is the best grass for the beach, in my opinion, twice a week in this climate right now, it's going to be just barely enough. Barely enough. Here's something you could do. Twice a week, follow the rules if they've mm-hmm. got some type of algae issue. But if you've got a blade of St. Augustine grass, mm-hmm. it's just wide open, and it folds up, kind of like folding up your hands, uh-huh. kind of like you're saying a prayer. If it folds up, that grass is telling you that you need to water it now. If you walk across your St. Augustine grass and it kind of, the grass kind of stays down, you can see your footprints behind you, that grass needs water.
Okay.
So your lawn can tell you when it really is getting affected by the,
it'll talk to you.
It'll tell you what to do. You're getting so good at this.
I know. It's like you're trained me already, Mike.
Exactly. But I would be real curious as to know what the algae issue is at the beach.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with that.
Let's
I'd love to know more about that. And the twice a week, as I say, you might get by with it if you get some showers.
Mm-hmm.
But if that grass, as Tammy would say, starts talking to you, then you may have to put a little bit more on there.
And Catherine said, glad that you recycle and share the Audubon magazines. Have fun and safe Fourth.
Same to you, Catherine.
Thank you, Catherine.
Same to you, Catherine. Was that a picture of Catherine's centipede grass?
Catherine was, we can ask her, but I wonder who sent it. It wasn't Catherine.
It wasn't? Okay.
No.
I was going to say, I thought maybe that was Catherine's lawn. The centipede grass picture that we just got is perfect.
I know. The grass is gorgeous.
It's perfect.
I told him I want to take my shoes off and go run around, and it was
amazing. It's one of those things, whatever you're doing,
keep doing it.
Because you're doing it exactly right.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask her if it was her yard.
Yeah, do that.
Okay, and then we had a friend text in water in the morning.
Right,
so.
In the morning. Early in the morning. Right, that's the best.
And Verdon text in 5 to 6 a.m. even zoja grass?
Yes, absolutely.
It was her yard.
It was Catherine's yard?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not the least bit surprised. You know, that's probably one of the best centipede yards you'll ever see.
That's right. Absolutely.
It was just beautiful. No doubt about that.
Yes. We love you texting in your pictures, your comments, your questions, 437-1620. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on Pep Talk.
Summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match. Every night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl.
Welcome back. We hope you're having a fantastic 4th of July. It's Red, White, and Blues week here in Pensacola. It's going to be a fantastic week, and it starts off today with the 4th of July. We hope you have a great time with your family. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, and I'm here with Mike Wiggins. It's the Garden Line. We love to hear from you. You got a question about your gardens, your grass, your flowers, your trees. He knows it all. 437.
No, he doesn't.
Mike, come on now.
That's okay.
There has never been a time you can answer a question.
we got to answer it right.
I got Google right here.
Please don't let it go away.
Yeah, absolutely. 437-1620. You can call or text us in your questions.
A couple things.
Okay.
It's the 4th of July, and you do not have time to fertilize your yard. You've got too much going on. Pensacola's mm-hmm. got so much happening.
Right.
But this is the time of year. Let's say in the next week or so, you need to fertilize that yard. We've talked about that, and we just need to do it. St. Augustine, we need to use same thing we used in the spring, 1608, with no weed killer, none. Don't do that. Just a 1608 fertilizer for zoysia and for St. Augustine. And then remember we were going to use the ironite or the milorganite organic material for centipede grass. But now is the time to do it. Because I'm telling you, Tammy, blink your eyes, and it'll be time for winterizer fertilizer.
My child goes to school in 3 and 4 weeks.
No.
Back to school.
Back in that soon?
August the 2nd. It is already less than a month away. Isn't that insane? We used to not go to school till the end of Labor Day.
After Labor Day, exactly.
Yeah. We've moved it up a whole month.
Right.
We might as well just have school all year round at this point.
Well, of course, when I went to school, we had no air conditioning. So. Oh,
I walked 15 miles in the snow, Tammy. Is that where we're going with this, Mike?
I walked to school uphill every day.
Uphill every day.
Anyway.
In the blazing heat of Pensacola.
Right. Somebody feels sorry for me. Not going to happen.
Jim does. He brought us Fuji water.
Jim, you're great.
Absolutely. With a beautiful tropical flower on the front. So
exactly.
We're kind of delirious this morning, I can tell.
Oh, yeah, a little goofy. However, it is time to fertilize. There's no doubt about that. It's also time to prune back your azaleas if you haven't done it. Probably mid to late July, you may lose some color in 2024. Sometimes it's not a big deal if your azaleas are all getting out of hand. You got to prune them back. It doesn't hurt the plant. You're still going to get blooms on what's left, but you will be cutting off some color. So if that matters to you, you need to prune them back very, very shortly. Also, be careful with your tropicals, especially, and I think I mentioned this last week, your bush daisies. Your bush daisies are, for lack of a better word, and I'm repeating myself from last week, is my signal plant.
That's
and,
right.
And it has given me a signal every afternoon now, water me. Mm-hmm. And when I need to water the bush daisy, it's a good time to water the crotons and the mandevillas and the hibiscus and all that other stuff. So be careful with those potted plants. And they, too, just like your St. Augustine grass, will tell you when it needs watering. Many of your plants will do just the same. So we need to be sure we pay attention to that.
Absolutely.
No,
if you're just now tuning in, you're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm here with Mike Wiggins. It's the Garden Line. You're welcome to send your questions, your text, your pictures, 437-1620.
Also, I had my internet the other day, I noticed that Werner Turf has got a new soil test kit. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's new. They've had it a while, but they were kind of promoting it. That is a little very special insofar it tells you everything chemically about your turf, your soil, everything like that. They've got the kit, I think, on their Creighton Road location. So you might want to look into that because that's really, really important.
Yeah.
Because St. Augustine, you may need lime. You may not.
Yeah.
Centipede, you don't. You don't need a soil test kit for centipede. Just don't do it. But for zoysia, and for Georgia and St. Augustine, yes, get a soil test and see what it says. Now, I always say this, Tammy, if you're one who says, well, that's probably the way to do it, but I'm not going to do it, I don't have time to do that, I would put lime on my St. Augustine every 2 years, every 3 years at the minimum.
Okay.
About 50 pounds, 40 pounds for every 1,000 square feet, and it really will allow those nutrients, that fertilizer you're putting on that grass to be absorbed by the grass, so it'll do some good.
Yes, absolutely. And I have a friend that's on the show, and he always says, test, don't guess.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Test, don't. Is he in horticulture?
AC.
Really?
Mm-hmm. AC units. They always test, don't guess.
I'm like, very
good. Yeah, absolutely.
Let me write that down. I'll use that over and over and over again.
Catherine says we have a fun holiday show. It might be because we're a little delirious, Catherine.
We're jumping around a little bit.
Be the sugar high from the donut.
You think so? Yeah, that could easily be.
Usually don't eat donuts before the show, but I'm thinking I might need to.
Right. One thing we want to talk about, we may not get to it today, or we may get to it even when Malcolm's here, is growing citrus. Now, I know we talked about it. We had the freeze, and we had all those problems with the freeze. Well, this great nursery in Tallahassee called Tallahassee Nurseries, one of the best in the South as far as I'm concerned, has put out a bulletin, a paper, if you will, about how to plant citrus if you're in an area that is subject to a freeze like we had. So that's us. That's us.
Yeah.
So there's about four or five different elements of that.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't get to it this hour, maybe next hour we'll start off with that. Because it really is some good advice, very plain advice about building or planting, if you will, not building, but planting in a microclimate. Sounds scientific, it sounds complicated, but it is not. But it really is some good advice on if you're going to plant a citrus plant, and a lot of people are because they lost theirs in the freeze, so maybe this summer or fall they're going to plant a new one, some hints on how to do that.
Perfect. We're going to get to that right after the break.
You got it.
Wonderful morning here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Thank you so much for listening. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We have a great show this morning. It's The Garden Line, and we have a very special guest with us now, Mr. Malcolm Ballinger.
Roll out the red carpet.
I know.
Malcolm is here on a Tuesday, on Independence Day, no less.
Listen, we have been looking forward to this show. I have no clue what we're going to talk about, but I think we can handle it.
Malcolm and I don't either. So.
Listen, I just think
so we'll figure
I'm
going to
sit back and let them take over. I think that's what's going to happen, actually. We've been having a great show, Malcolm. Everyone's been texting in their questions. It's been wonderful.
It has been fun. We really have. Malcolm, we have some great listeners.
Yeah.
I have one listener that sent me all this information on bird watching, which we've talked about here before.
Are you a bird watcher, Malcolm?
Yeah, actually I am.
Are you?
Yeah. You know, my very small garden, right. But I see cardinals come and other kinds of birds. So I enjoy to sit on the front porch and watch.
And everybody does it.
Yeah.
Everybody does
it. Absolutely. We have more to come here on the Mike and Malcolm show right after the break. Fantastic morning here in Pensacola.
Mama Cass.
What do you think about this
Mama
song?
Cass in California.
That's right.
Dreaming.
That's right. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins. We've had The Garden Line this morning, and then we have Malcolm Ballinger with us.
That's right.
Which is awesome that I get to have both of my favorite.
Happy 4th of July.
Yes, absolutely.
And I say that with great meaning, even though you took our colonies. Did you read
out
that?
I got a text a minute ago, Malcolm.
We have a listener with a real sense of humor.
Oh, here it is. I have a T-shirt that said, "The British blew a 13 colony lead." See, I almost didn't show that to Malcolm. We're going to get this show started off right.
I like it. I love it.
Exactly. You know what we need to do? We need to tend to a little business.
Okay, we do.
First,
yes.
We had a garden line question.
Yes.
We could do that one.
Okay. I had a friend text in, overwatered azaleas during this hot weather. Now have spots on leaves that are beige on the top and dark underside. How to treat them?
Don't treat them. Those are little fungal spots that get on there. And they're two colored. They're kind of, as the texture said, kind of a brown, they're kind of a beige. But they are sometimes called frog eyes. I guess they look kind of like frog eyes. But it's really cosmetic. It's probably not going to kill your plant. You could spray for it, but to be honest with you, I wouldn't do it. To stop that, roses get that a lot. What you can do is to water from below. Just water, down on kind of a drip system, not on the leaves all the time. You don't want to do it, every time, but that's one way to do it. But I'm not sure I'd even worry about that. I think it's just something that's going to happen in Pensacola this time of year. As I say, it's just cosmetic, and the new growth next year won't have it.
I think that sounds great.
That's what I would do.
Is that what you would do, Malcolm?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with my friend. Absolutely.
No, 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 no. This is the second half of the garden line. These garden questions are for all of us.
I have a question for you. Special request.
Oh, no.
From Carrie Wilson.
I'm a little nervous.
Of our Rotary. You know Carrie.
Well, of course. Of course. Wonderful lady.
This may stump the brain.
Uh-oh.
I was going to say stump the chump. I don't know if you ever used to listen to that. But no.
Right.
You're the brain, not the chump.
Go for it.
This is a little off. Well, no, really. It's kind of on subject. Moles.
We talk about moles a lot on here, don't we, Mel?
Oh, you do?
Mike.
Oh, yeah.
How do you get rid of moles? Now, Carrie's tried one of those stakes that you put in the ground, and I think it emits
vibration. Exactly.
And it supposedly drives them away, but it doesn't.
Malcolm, it's really funny. You say that we're kind of, you know, an unusual question. Back in the day when I was doing Blab TV so much, I mean, I did it for years and years and years. That was the most asked question.
Wow.
Over the years, how to get rid of moles. And the answer is nobody really knows. But here's some strategies you can use. Number one, you're going to have moles if your home is located near a wooded area or there's construction going on around you, because the moles get on the move and they start looking for food. That's what they're doing. They're not eating your grass or your plants. They're burrowing underneath it and loosening the roots. So one thing you can do if you have moles is to water a little bit more. But there are chemical ways. You can buy little green pellets that are labeled for moles. Mm-hmm. Kind of find the run where the mole is and kind of stick them in there and try that. If you have no children and no pets and no friends wandering around your yard,
just alone.
You're by yourself. You can buy this little gizmo that you set these spikes.
Yes.
And the mole hits the trigger and the spike goes right down and goodbye mole. So I don't like those because I'm afraid I'm kind of clumsy. I would spike my hand setting it up.
I remember as I'd be a child. I'd still be probably 8, 9, or 10. My granddad had a farm. Uh-huh. And the fields, often you could see these burrows, those little heaps. And then every now and again, there'd be a big heap.
Yeah.
Well, he used to put those traps in there.
Right.
And, of course, they were sort of like wide open. And then when
Yes.
Yeah. And I would go with him, and he would dig up and the mole, and he did that for years and never got rid of them.
No.
But just kept them under control, I guess.
Exactly. Remember Caddyshack?
Yes. Oh, yes.
The mole and Caddyshack.
Yeah.
With Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah.
So funny. Malcolm, one last thing on the moles. And because they are so hard to control, they kind of lend themselves to what I call old wives' tales. Things you can do naturally to get rid of the moles. And over the years, one thing they use is put gloves on, juicy fruit gum, roll it up, and put it down in the run.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the crazy one. Get a lock of hair. Cut off a lock of hair and put that down into the run. Mm-hmm. And that supposedly makes the moles go somewhere else.
Is gray hair okay? Or
I was
does
like,
it have to be
well,
blonde,
it better be for you and me. It better be. But seriously, one last thing you could do, this is a serious solution, is get some granular insecticide. You can buy it in a bag at Lowe's or Home Depot and put it along the edge of your fence, along the perimeter of your yard, and water it in. And what that may do, what we hope it will do, it won't affect the mole at all, but it'll kill some of the insects that are in the soil, and the mole will go to your neighbors.
Kills the food source.
The food source.
Yeah, send them to your neighbor.
Right.
Make it his problem. Yeah.
You think Carrie will go for any of that?
Well, she invested in these spikes. Now, do they really work to emit those? Is it vibration or high-pitched sound? And
it's funny.
Does it really drive them away?
A lot of people have used them, and I think everybody keeps searching. You know what other people did as far as that vibration is concerned?
Mm.
You know, a little boys and girls would go with have a stick and a propeller on the top of it, that toy.
Yeah.
Put a bunch of those in the yard, and the wind blows the propeller, vibrates the stick, and supposedly the mole goes away.
Oh.
Do you believe that?
Oh, I believe it.
I
say
think the lock of hair is better, actually.
The lock of hair, Mike.
I believe anything you say, Mike.
Oh,
I do,
really?
Too. Really? You could tell us whatever you wanted. Yeah. We believe you.
Well, you're the brain.
Exactly.
The garden brain.
No, yeah, the garden brain. Otherwise, not so much. Anyway.
Malcolm, do you garden at all?
As a matter of fact, I have a very small front yard, but I've made a little patch for camellias. Mike knows I love camellias, in particular Seafoam and Black Magic. I think they're the most beautiful flowers that I've ever seen. I saw them originally, I think it was at our good friend Buzz Ritchie's house.
Exactly.
And I became enchanted by them. And I have one of each. That's all I have room for. And then I have another camellia, a Marie Brophy. Mm-hmm. And they've been there for 3 years, and last year I had all kinds of buds, and I thought, this is going to be really a great year.
Oh, those are beautiful.
And then we all know what happened at Christmas time. But they have recovered, new shoots, looking great, and I'm really looking forward to this next year. The Seafoam in particular, it is just like being on the seashore and seeing that the foam that rises.
They're beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I've ever seen one. This is beautiful.
Mm. Well, you will, because, Tammy, you've never been here for our camellia show, have you?
No.
Here on the Garden Line.
No.
In November, Skip Vogelsang and Buzz Ritchie come on the show, and Skip is the master of Camellia Garden, but we'll bring a whole tray of different camellias. And, of course, one of the hardest things to do on radio is to describe these beautiful blooms. But he does.
Oh,
and it's really a great, fun show. And I'll get him to bring a Seafoam so Tammy can see that one.
It was actually Skip that got the Seafoam and the Black Magic for me.
Okay.
And so I give him an update from time to time. And I was a gardener as a young man.
We are going to get back to this.
I'm getting hand signals,
this is the Mike and Malcolm show. But I'm going to interject because we have to take a little break.
Give me a signal. Shut up.
I'm like, hey, over here, guys. We're going to take a little break here on Pep Talk. We have way more to come here after the break. Stay tuned.
Commercials? What are those?
Listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins and Malcolm Ballinger. It is the Mike and Malcolm show this morning. I just interrupt periodically to take a break.
Well, you neglected to say this is the world premiere.
This is actually the world premiere.
It is.
Never heard
this
before.
Is fantastic.
This is the first Mike and Malcolm show.
I love it.
But let's hope not the last.
No, I love it. Y'all come on every week with me because I love having y'all
this
here. Y'all are so fun.
This is a day in history.
Yes.
I wonder what the ratings are going to be.
Yeah. Maybe we better not look.
No, it's great.
That was.
I've had multiple people say, what a fun show. What a great show today. So, we need donuts more often, and B, we need Malcolm with us, Mike.
I totally agree.
I think it just took us over the top.
I totally agree. Yeah. Malcolm has yet to talk about his yard, because remember the time, Malcolm, or maybe it's been so long ago, you had the mushroom problems in your yard?
Oh, the stinkhorn.
The stinkhorn. I call it the devil's tongue.
The devil's tongue, yes.
Remember that?
Oh, I called and you told me what to do, which I did. Yeah. I got plastic bags and I dug around. And I also wore plastic gloves so that I didn't spread the...
You don't want to touch it.
Yeah. And finally got rid of it. If you don't know what stinkhorn is, it's a mushroom thing. It's like a big orangey horn that comes up, and it smells literally like a dead carcass.
Oh.
Like something died in your yard.
It's horrible.
Oh, my
Absolutely
goodness.
Absolutely horrible.
Yeah. So I did it the first time. Then I thought I got rid of him. I came home. I told this story before on the air. I go to the front door and I could smell. But I looked and I could not see a stinkhorn anywhere. So I got down on my hands and knees, sniffing. And I sort of got the feeling that somebody was watching me, so I looked up. My neighbor, Miss Lucille, from across the street, is looking at me. Malcolm, have you really lost it this time? But I did find it.
Did you find it?
And I dug it out, yes. But it took me, several weeks to finally get rid of it. I thought it came from, I bought a mulch from a local store, yeah. And I think it came with that.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it a bit. I've told that story a lot about.
Have you?
Yeah, I don't ever say Malcolm, I say this friend of mine.
Oh, well, now it's out. Cat's
especially
out of the bag.
Especially on the guard line when we started talking about this devil's tongue. I said, he was caught crawling through the St. Augustine grass all over hard with these gloves on.
And, that's awesome.
You know, I'm surprised they didn't call.
If you've ever had it is just so aggravating. The smell is so terrible.
Oh, it's horrible.
I mean, literally, it's like a dead car. Well, isn't that why? Doesn't it emit that smell to attract flies? Isn't that the
I can't imagine it attracting anything. It's so bad. But I just dig it up. You pry it like Malcolm did. You pry it up with a shovel and I put it in a bag and then just put it in your garbage can. And that's the best you can do.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because it's really is.
I wonder
have another
why
question.
They.
Oh, sorry.
No. I wonder why they grow. We have to figure that out. Why do we have mosquitoes? That's another good question.
Well, it's moisture. It's moisture and the consistency of the soil and the humidity. A lot of factors.
Yeah.
When you get them, you won't get just one. I think you'll find numerous ones once you start getting them. You just pry them up, put them in the...
I also did the other thing that you told me to do, put lime.
Absolutely. A little.
Did that help?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Put a little dolomite lime on it. Buy a little bag, and when you're finished with it, put it on your St. Augustine grass so it doesn't go to waste, because you don't need much.
we had a friend text in some pictures of the algae you looked at.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes, the picture of the algae around the complex, and you weren't sure with the pictures they sent what it is.
I couldn't tell from the pictures. I'll be honest with you, and I know this is a real reach, but the pictures looked almost like crabgrass. Hmm. It looked like crabgrass that was... kind of growing just almost into turf. I don't believe that's the case, but that's what the picture looked like. It was hard to tell.
Yeah.
It was hard
to tell.
Well,
we appreciate you texting in the picture.
I really do. I wish we could be more specific.
Maybe we could get a little bit different ones.
Yeah.
And we could try again.
Exactly. Or maybe an invitation to the beach.
There we go. There we go. We're going to take a quick break here on Pep Talk. I have Malcolm Ballinger and Mike Wiggins with me this morning. Having a wonderful 4th of July. I hope you're having a wonderful 4th of July. If you have a question or a comment, you can text or call 437-1620.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be surfing like California. You'd see them wearing their baggies, Huarache sandals too, a bushy, bushy blonde hairdo, surfing USA.
Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It is Red, White, and Blues week here in Pensacola. The best week, honestly, I feel like, of the year in Pensacola. We are always having a good time. It's the 4th of July. I hope you're having a wonderful 4th of July with your family and you stay safe. And it's memorable, right?
Absolutely.
That's what it means.
Absolutely. No question.
Yes, absolutely. We are having a great show. It's the Mike and Malcolm Show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It is the world premiere, as Malcolm likes to say. If you have a question or a comment, 437-1620, we'd love to hear from you.
I don't know, Malcolm. We may all get called to the office next week.
I know, principal's office now.
Have to do some going to timeout.
Mary and Dave, they might like, okay, Tammy, you didn't rein them in. Yeah. No, I love it. It's great. I love having y'all here this morning.
It's fun.
To be serious for a moment.
Absolutely.
I don't know if it should be, but I have a garden
Wow,
question.
Malcolm.
Actually, a lawn question.
Go for it.
In my lawn, I keep getting these They're like a single stem, lighter green. I don't know how to describe it. It doesn't look like a weed. It's more like, I wish I could find the words, but when you pull it out, it's just a single root. It's rather like this, looks like a tulip without the flower. If that's maybe a good way.
Oh, and we are at a break again because we talk so long. We talk so long.
We'll figure that
out. Run over, but that's okay. We have a whole nother half an hour after the break. We have a Fox News update followed by a local news update and more to come here on. Welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins and Malcolm Ballinger. It's a fun show this morning on the 4th of July. Thank you so much for joining me. If you have a question or comment, 437-1620. And that song was for Catherine because she requested it.
Oh, Catherine, thanks for calling again. She is great. Malcolm, Catherine is one of our listeners who is always getting engaged with us and sending information and giving us hints and answering the many questions that I can't answer.
Yeah.
So she is just great.
Yes. And a friend texted in, the weed with the long root, could you be talking about torpedo grass? And we kind of decided that maybe not.
Well, torpedo grass is the worst weed one can have in their yard. Torpedo grass sends up a little stalk, if you will, but not very tall. But the thing about torpedo grass is, even in season when we're using weed killers, you can spray it, and it might knock it back a little bit. But what you don't see is the root system on torpedo grass. You have one torpedo grass, and the root system is like a huge bowl of spaghetti, big white roots, and just little normal weed killers aren't going to do anything.
Okay.
And so I don't believe that's what this is. Because when Malcolm pulls it up, it just kind of comes up
right
out of the ground. So torpedo grass is not going to come up that easy. But I'm glad the person suggested that because that's the hardest weed to control ever. And, of course, it shows up in areas that generally don't have much grass.
Okay.
If you have it right, you usually don't get it right in the middle of a lawn. But if it's a week long or just bare area, you'll get torpedo grass. And you'll wish you didn't because it's the worst.
Well, in the break, we decided that I would take a picture of it and send it to Professor Wiggins.
Professor Wiggins.
Bring it to our...
I've decided he's not the brain, he's the professor.
No.
Yeah, there's no brains to this right now. Yeah, bring it to Rotary. Malcolm and I are in Rotary Club together. So bring it to Rotary. We'll figure it out.
Can I digress for a moment?
Of course. Don't you always? We always do that.
We digress?
We digress every time Malcolm's
I want
in
to
here.
Speak on behalf of a much maligned character in history.
Okay.
It's very apropos to July 4th. King George.
Okay.
King George really had no responsibility for taxation, and he sort of gets blamed. He's sort of the boogeyman, the bad guy. In reality, the King of England back in the 1600s really never had a whole lot of power, still doesn't. Taxes are levied by Parliament. And so it was the big bad Parliament. It was politicians. Even in those days, politicians were the bane of our society. So I just want to... I feel sorry for poor old Mad King George. He gets all the blame. And he really wasn't to blame.
So who was to blame, Malcolm?
The British Parliament.
Parliament.
Yes. Well, although it also has to be said that the same taxes that you rebelled against were paid by Brits. I mean, we were heavily taxed too.
Yeah.
It's just that we weren't smart enough to get rid of your politicians, I guess.
No taxation without representation.
Yes.
Exactly.
Well, at least we had representation. You're right. Well, that's not really true either because the members of Parliament often were the wealthy landowners. And so the average working man really didn't have a whole lot of say. There was a lot of crazy things happening. Members of Parliament sometimes... There's one famous case, and I forget exactly where in England, but he was a member of parliament for an area that had actually fallen into the sea and nobody was there. So, but he just continued to be the member of parliament for that area. So, again, poor old King George. We British were just as hard done to. We just didn't speak up about it. We just tipped our cap and said, aye, aye, sir. Or,
well, we'll raise a glass of cheer to King George over the holiday. No doubt about it. There you go.
We got our water.
Wave our water glass to King George. Malcolm, this really is off topic.
Yes.
I don't know if we have time or not. Maybe
we have about three minutes before a break.
Maybe the Cliff Notes version of your thoughts on the new king, the new administration.
I must say I've
never really been a big fan of Prince Charles, now King Charles.
Right.
But I must say I've grown to like him. I really feel for him, the problems with his son, Harry. He's a very caring dad. You can see that. He was brought up not knowing his parents, brought up the old British royal way, is you sent him up, you just gave him to nannies. And so he's not really well equipped. But I think he's done a good job. And I grew to love his mom, who I think was a great queen. I didn't always appreciate that. But I think, sad to see her go. And I think King Charles will hopefully do well. He's maybe not as determined as I would like him to be. He can be a little bit wishy-washy. But I do sympathize with him.
Yeah, he's got a big job.
Yes.
A big job to follow the Queen, who,
yes,
over the years just did, I think, did a great job. Just, you know, having to react to some of the events in Europe and Britain was tough.
Difficult is it not to respond to criticism? And they never did and haven't.
Right.
No matter what people, even within the family, Harry and Meghan have said about the royal family, they've remained stoic and not responded. And that takes an awful lot. I mean, that's great strength of character, in my opinion.
I agree. Very interesting. I mean, you know, people live and breathe the monarchy, you know, all the ins and outs and the gossip and everything that's published about them. And I agree with you. It's got to be difficult for them to read some of that stuff, which is pretty tough. Pretty rough.
Yeah. Most people are really in favor of the British royal family in England. They love the royal family. And it's particularly in rough times that people look to the monarch as a leader, as an example. We really don't have that in the United States. Our president comes and goes every 4 or 8 years. Right. The Queen was there for 70 years. King Charles will be there for hopefully a long time. And in times of trouble, when the monarch speaks, people listen. It sort of brings us together.
That's interesting. Interesting.
Do you feel like it's because they're not really politically driven?
I think absolutely. They cannot have political views. I mean, they have private political views, but they cannot express them.
I think that's the main difference.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think that's true. That's very, very
because
well
it unifies everyone.
Yeah, they're not running for office, so they're by birth, right?
That cures a lot of ills right there.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
Absolutely. We are going to take a quick break here on Pep Talk, or I like to say the Mike and Malcolm Show. If you have a question and comment, you're welcome to text or call 437-1620.
Sorry, you were going to...
Panel, thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins, who is an expert in all things gardening, and Mr. Malcolm Ballinger, the stoic one. They work together quite well. Yes. It is the premiere of the Mike and Malcolm Show. They're all of a sudden quiet now.
I don't know what to say.
They won't stop talking to let me get a break. And now I say that, they're like,
Could this lead to national syndication?
Maybe.
What do you think?
I think so. Yeah. I think it's honestly that good.
Wait a minute. Stop right there. You think we can make a little money doing this? Probably not. No.
Listen, I'm in too, if that's the case. So a friend texted in that they couldn't kill their bullet grass with Roundup and 104 degrees outside, and we were wondering what bullet grass was, and I was wondering, I think it's torpedo grass. Maybe it's the same thing.
Well, it sounds right, a torpedo, bullet, you know, it could be. And I'm not the least bit surprised, keeping in mind that Roundup...
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, that Roundup is systemic insofar it's absorbed through the foliage, it goes down and kills the roots. But like I said a minute ago, this has such a huge invasive root system that even Roundup has trouble killing torpedo grass or bullet grass, whatever you want to call it.
And that's more of a weed?
No question, it's a weed, yes.
Yes, it's a weed.
It's a horrible weed. But the problem with tilling it up and raking it out, when you till it up, you're going to leave little pieces of those roots, those white roots. You can't get them all. And you're going to find that torpedo grass is going to come back.
So how do you prevent that?
You really don't. You have to keep digging at it. You have to keep spraying it. What I would consider, if you're going to till it up and rake it out, is kind of, if you can, just wait a little bit in that area and let it come back up when it's real young foliage. Spray it again. You may have to do that two or three times. Then you should have some control.
What about a barrier?
A barrier?
You know, like
Concrete, maybe?
No. Wow, if it takes concrete, never mind. I was thinking something different. Like what is the barrier you put down to prevent weeds from growing through it when you're planting flowers?
The landscape cloth?
Yes.
I'm not a big fan of that.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, Malcolm and I were talking about Bermuda grass earlier. Things like Bermuda grass, it'll come through that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think in Pensacola, with our long growing season and the rain we get, that's a good investment. I really don't.
Hmm.
Yeah. So torpedo grass is
so
tough.
Sorry.
It's so hard to control.
We've ruined our friend's 4th of July. We can't fix it for you.
Exactly.
There's nothing we can do.
Exactly. But just keep going at it. Keep going at it. You know, spray it with Roundup if you have to. And the thing about Roundup, we've always said it here on the Garden Line, you know, make your own decision about Roundup.
Oh, because it, yeah.
Do your research on it. Find out if it's for you, if you want to use it. And if you do, long sleeves, gloves, hat, mask. We all have masks. Everything to protect yourself.
Right.
It's that important.
The friend said, same thing. The root has a point and grows fast. I'm going to get concrete poured.
There you go. That might be the only way. Build you a pickleball court.
That's the current thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. How can we fix it? Pour concrete over it. That's all the answers we have for
you. You know, but I'm not convinced that torpedo grass wouldn't come through concrete.
You think?
it's that strong.
I would need a picture for that.
Oh, you bet.
Absolutely.
You bet.
If you're just now tuning in, you're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. If you have a question, comment, 437-1620. You can call or text. We hope you're having a wonderful 4th of July. Thank you so much for joining us and listening this morning. We know there's a million other things you could be doing on this 4th of July.
We truly appreciate it.
We do. We're having a good time. So, Malcolm, what is your plans for 4th of July today?
Well, I'm going to go over to my girlfriend, Carrie's house. She's going to... We're going to grill hamburgers, which is what you do, I guess, on July 4th.
I'll be doing the same thing. I bought some corn. I'm going to do a little
grill. Corn on the cob?
Corn on the cob on the grill.
That sounds amazing.
Do something like that, yeah.
We'll do French fries, air fried French fries.
Did you? Were you listening to us?
He's cheating.
because I was going to say, I'm going to have the corn, I'm going to cook some hamburgers, then I'm going to air fry some. French fries.
He did.
I missed that part.
That's funny. You both said air fry French fries.
They are so much better than, I guess, fried French fries.
The air fryer is great. It really is.
You know what? I always put mine in the air fryer now, too. We have a phone call this morning. Good morning. Happy 4th of July.
Hello. My name is Phil, and I want to talk about this brand new grass that just came out.
Say that one more time.
I was going to talk about some brand new grass that just came out. I saw the other day on TV.
And what do you need to know about it?
I just need to know if it's good for this area.
And how do you spell that, the grass?
It's Black Beauty is the name of the grass.
Hmm.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, no,
I don't know
heard
that. You know that one, Malcolm?
No, sorry.
I don't know that one.
That must be new.
It must be new. Well, and one thing I will say, I will answer the question this way. Be very careful about new grasses, really new plants sometimes that come out that are not proven, not tested, that we don't know much about, because sometimes they just are not for our area. We live in a zone 8, which is kind of semi-tropical here. Some of these new things are better up north, are better all the way south, and we're kind of in the between. So be real careful before you spend your money on something that's brand new. Now, this grass, anyway, I'm just saying, be very careful, and maybe talk to your local garden center about it. Talk to the Escambia Extension Service about it before you spend your money on a new variety of grass or plant that we're not really familiar with.
Absolutely.
Yes, I saw it the other day on Ask This So How, and he went to the farm made with has cover in it, and you never need fertilizer in it because you have cover that acts like the fertilizer.
Well, thank you so much for texting in your question. We truly appreciate it. We hope you have a wonderful 4th of July. We're going to take a quick break here on Pep Talk. We'll be right back with more. If you have a question or comment, 437-1620.
I think...
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. Crying all the time. You ain't looking for a hound dog. Crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins and Malcolm Ballinger. We're having a fantastic 4th of July, as we hope you are. Thank you so much for listening, for sending us your questions, your comments. Again, if you have a question or comment, 437-1620. Elvis showed up, if you didn't notice.
You know, he's late.
He's late to the party.
He's late. He usually comes into the studio about mid-show.
Yeah.
And Elvis is in the house.
Yeah. And if he doesn't do that, he has to call long distance.
Yeah. So we were talking about air-fried French fries. And we're talking about out of the bag frozen, throw them in there.
That's it.
Yeah.
Or slice. You know,
I make French fries in the air fryer all the time.
Either way, though, frozen ones are still good.
Yeah. So you know what I do is I put some potatoes in my Instant Pot for the week, and I pre-cook them. And then you just cut them up, put them in the air fryer. It's way less time. Spray them with a little spray.
Wow.
It's so healthy for you.
But a burger is not a burger without onion, cheese, and, of course, mushrooms. So you
I'll do it without the mushrooms.
The mushrooms and the onion together.
Well, Catherine said we're wonderful. Grilling St. Louis ribs and corn. It's raining now in Ferry Pass.
Hopefully
that passes for
you. Well, we need rain, but we do not need rain in Pensacola
not
today.
Not on the 4th of July. Not, come on now.
Yeah, and, much of course, going on. We'll have a drink with an umbrella.
You better believe
a little umbrella.
A little umbrella drink. Absolutely.
I have to say, this was so enjoyable to have you both on. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you and your family have a wonderful 4th of July.
Same to you, Tammy.
I
hope you have a great 4th. Yes, Malcolm, thanks for doing this. This was fun.
Thank you. I enjoyed this.
We'll do it.